Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. A lot of people will be talking about Pittsburgh native, former IBF lightweight world boxing champion Paul Spadafora.
Yes, he was apparently attacked by his dog and was fighting for his life in the hospital at last word. You had a picture of him on social media yesterday with a breathing device.
It was shocking.
Yeah, because we think of him as a all-time boxing great in our area, certainly. He's from McKees Rocks, too.
Yeah, he's living, apparently, in Las Vegas and training young fighters. And his wife, Nadine, spoke on behalf of the family. And our own Tabira Rush covered the story.
According to posts on social media, Pittsburgh boxer Paul Spadafora was seriously injured on Tuesday evening. The McKees Rocks native was attacked by his dog and is not able to breathe on his own. One Facebook user wrote, quote, "Please call out to Jesus for this one. This hits deep," end quote. The 49-year-old retired boxer is a former IBF lightweight champion and finished his career with a 49-1-1 record. According to an article published in Boxing Scene, Spadafora has been in recovery, living in the Las Vegas area and teaching boxing. Tamira Rush, News Radio, KDKA.
And late yesterday, his wife believed that he would be able to make a full recovery, though.
Oh, man, is that great news.
Touch and go for a while.
Where did you see that, by the way?
They had an update. Kevin Gorman, you know Kevin,
mm-hmm.
Writes for the Trib.
Okay.
So he was able to reach out and talk to Spadafora's wife.
That's wonderful news. I didn't know that part, so we'll share that with our listeners as we go down the road.
Yeah, and he, by the way, you know, he's had a troubled life at times, too, this arc.
Yeah, I was looking back in 2018. We were doing stories about him had been convicted of something or another it was. I didn't look at the details. And I think, you know what, though, let's think about the recovery right now, right?
Yeah. And
exactly. The fact that he's been in recovery from addiction is also great news.
Yes. And obviously you want to support anyone who's in that situation. Because that's a rough road for a lot of people, and a lot of families are dealing with it on many different levels.
Paul Alexander and I were talking about Spadafora a little bit before I left yesterday, and Paul made the comment, I think it's worth repeating. He said, Spadafora was not known for power in punching, but boy, could he put combinations together like no one else. 5, 6, 7 punches in a short period of time, like within seconds or two. I don't think I would like to fight a guy like that. Well, I wouldn't like to box anyway. Would you?
No.
I don't know how they do it.
A lover, not a fighter. And, you know. But we wish him, obviously, the best and well for his recovery. What else are people talking about?
Well, they're clearing out the encampment downtown on Grant Street next to the interstate. It would be the Parkway East. The announcement was made yesterday that this was going to happen. I found one of the quotes from an official who was speaking about this, said that they wanted to remove a camp only as a last resort. And they had been receiving complaints about this encampment for quite some time. I don't know, close to a year, perhaps. The drug use, gunfire. Of course, we had the garbage that piles up.
Yeah, and
there were people in a nearby building, Fort Pitt Commons, who were concerned about a porta potty that had been placed next near the building, where drug deals, they say, were being made, and the city has stepped in. And here's the other part of it: if you think that they've removed the camp, they have not. They've begun the process of removing it. They're getting the people to leave, so they're giving people the notices that they can't camp there anymore, and then after they're all out of there, I think they have until sometime today or tomorrow, then they start to dismantle the camp. And that's something that takes time because there's danger to the people who are cleaning up the hypodermic needles that are left behind, the syringes.
Yeah, and Marty's been on this story for a long time. He's taken criticism for it too, but it is happening. And apparently what happens is they clean up one encampment and they just move somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
There is a story that's breaking news of sorts that the Biden administration is forgiving $4.5 billion in student debt for over 60,000 public service workers.
Yeah, that's something we're catching up to right now in the newsroom.
This is just the latest round. Now, you know, the president has tried several times on debt relief. He has been stopped by the courts, and nothing is resolved.
But the Supreme Court ruled earlier on in this whole saga that what the Biden administration was trying to do in loan forgiveness was not possible because it's unconstitutional. It's something that the Congress must do. And so the Biden administration has been trying to find workarounds so that they can address so they can accomplish what they want to in little chunks here and there.
My guess,
that's the best way I can put it.
This is, still another way tying it to public service. Now, there has always been a public service loan forgiveness program. For instance, for teachers who are in distressed school districts who spend, it's a considerable amount of time, like 10 years, could seek some relief from loans. But this one, I don't know if it'll end up in court like the others, but this was just announced this morning, actually, 5 a.m. So that'll be the next thing. And if you're someone with college debt, you're listening going, what? Again? Maybe? Yeah. Sort of? So right now, some of those loans are in forbearance because the courts put a stay.
Yes, they did.
On the debt relief. So there's kind of a limbo thing. So we'll bring you some more details on that and other stories. Download the free Odyssey app, AUDACY. Take us with you wherever you go. We'll keep you posted on breaking news, weather updates, Friday Night Lights, football. We got it going here at KDKA. And next weekend, PetFest 24, presented by Subaru, is back October 27th at Rockwell Park in the East End. 9:30 to 4, you can bring your four-legged friends, meet vendors. There's costume parties for your pets. I guess you could wear one, too. Photos with Santa. And you can get details and tickets. Stop by any Subaru dealer for your complimentary tickets. Go to kdkradio.com for details. All right, Paul. So the candidate visitation update. J.D. Vance will be at the Pennsylvanian today.
That's right, at noon. Making remarks, but I don't know if there's going to be a back and forth of any kind.
Yeah, I saw the setup they showed. They had chairs set up. If you've ever been to the Pennsylvania, used to be the old lobby for the train station, and it's a venue that's utilized for weddings and other events, and that's pretty much in the heart of Pittsburgh. And then I would imagine that we had J.D. Vance before. I'm looking at the rundown. So you got Tim Walz was around for a day and a half. You have Donald Trump going to Arnold Palmer Regional Airport Saturday. He's supposed to speak around 6. And then he's going to go make French fries at a McDonald's. We heard in Philly, but that doesn't seem to make sense. I mean, if he's here and then he's rumored to go to the Steeler game.
Don't know. Odd.
Marty says he's going. He's in.
Meaning what?
Trump's coming to the Steeler game.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. Yeah, he confirmed that for us yesterday morning.
Yes, he was adamant because he has people on the inside. Marty.
Yes, he does.
He does. He knows so many people. You talk about a half person from everyone, it's even less for him. So that's what's going on. I'm looking at what's ahead for this is a story. Do you ever look at the Drudge Report?
Not anymore. Yeah, I started out with them back in the day, way back in the day, and then for some reason or another I just found better places to get information.
Yeah, they kind of went sideways.
But I hear it's gotten super political. He has Trump derangement syndrome, right?
It's changed completely from what it was.
He's like, completely focused on that, which is, he can do what he wants with his site. It's, I'm sure that there's still millions of people that pop in every day.
Well, I check it not every day. I look once in a while. Occasionally I get a story from it. But one of the stories I did see that I thought was of interest, because so many people look at social media and they see sometimes what they believe to be historical photos, you know, with little caption. Well, apparently, the artificial intelligence abilities have changed, and some of the photos aren't real. And widely shared on social media, black and white shots, a mother and child starving in the Great Depression, an exhausted soldier in Vietnam War, they look like real historic documents.
Wow.
But they were created by artificial intelligence, and researchers fear they are muddying the waters of the real history of many parts of our journey. And there's no way to tell the difference for some people. They just can't. So I guess the heads up, the reason I bring this up is everything you see on social media is something you should question in your own mind. Is this real? Because I've had people, you know, there's a publication called The Onion.
Oh, The Onion cracks me up. Those are some funny writers.
And it's almost like...
But I mean, if you didn't know that was a satirical publication, you might be reading some of those things and thinking they're true.
And people have reported them
as
true. And it's a joke. It's like Mad Magazine.
Right. Andrew Lindberg and I, he's in our newsroom now. He works in the newsroom. Andrew Lindberg and I routinely show each other things from the Onion. And well, we laugh like heck.
I'll tell you what, I'll get a story from The Onion, and we'll make sure that you know it's from The Onion, but it'll give you an idea. It's almost like a Saturday Night Live skit.
I don't know how they've gotten this many people to be that funny in terms of writing, but they have. Hilarious stuff.
My whole point is, anything you see on social media, there's a chance that it's not true.
Yeah, just because it's there doesn't make it correct or true. You're right.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with our anchor man, Paul Rasmussen. Excited to talk to our next guest. Stephen Ray is the executive director of the Block Center for Technology, world famous Carnegie Mellon University. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
You, as you know, are the center of the universe now when it comes to robotics and artificial intelligence. So we thought we'd reach out and get some more insight, because this company worth $3.4 trillion, NVIDIA, is obviously interested in you too. So talk about the cooperative effort looking forward.
Yeah, I think the NVIDIA announcement this past week of Pittsburgh being a technology hub for them, a community hub, partnering Carnegie Mellon and the University of Pittsburgh as well, really demonstrates Pittsburgh's leadership in artificial intelligence, healthcare, and other areas that NVIDIA, you know, the world's largest chip manufacturer for AI and other applications, wants to be involved with, but really does spotlight the role of Carnegie Mellon as a research hub, which has put, you know, the Pittsburgh region at the center of major economic development announcements, job creation, and new technology. You know, CMU has had a role in not only pioneering artificial intelligence, but also promoting a human-centered approach. And I think that's an important part of what NVIDIA is looking for, is how will the technology be used? How do we keep the human in the AI and develop that? Because at CMU, we have people who are experts in AI and national security, sustainable AI and use of AI, and AI safety. And as you mentioned at the beginning, we don't deal with just the latest craze in generative AI, but we're also building out the embodied AI applications like robotics and autonomy. And robotics is particularly, and autonomy are particularly where NVIDIA was interested in partnering with Carnegie Mellon.
Stephen, Paul Rasmussen here. Would you explain to our audience the importance of NVIDIA's position in this, in terms of what they bring to the table, these high-powered chips they're manufacturing?
Yeah, what the they are the leader in the world in the development of these new high-powered chips that are powering the technology that we're all starting to use and seeing. And what they're really looking at here is how are we going to make sure that we're developing the types of chips that are going to power, you know, the new robotic tools that we're developing at Carnegie Mellon for agriculture, for space, for everyday use in the home, and for helping senior citizens and others in their daily lives. You know, NVIDIA brings this technology. What it will allow us to do at Carnegie Mellon is to have access to their technology and their knowledge so that as we're developing these new tools, developing the research structures that are necessary, we'll have knowledge of the capabilities, access to the technology, and access to their researchers as well in new partnerships.
We're with Steve Ray, Executive Director of the Block Center for Technology at Carnegie Mellon University. I think, Steve, it's kind of an overwhelming subject for us lay people because you hear artificial intelligence and people, you know, it's so broad. In terms of practicality, here in Pittsburgh and the South, you know, Western Pennsylvania region, we offer something that's really important. As I understand it, this technology requires a lot of energy. And obviously, mm-hmm. we're sitting on one of the world's largest reserves of natural gas and other ways to power this. Why does it take so much energy to run artificial intelligence?
Well, you may be getting even beyond my knowledge base on that, Larry, but the reality is that computing is an energy-intensive industry, very energy-intensive use. And what it requires are what are called data centers. These are the big buildings full of computers. It's really where the cloud is housed. You know, when we talk about the cloud is housed in lots of huge buildings around the country with thousands of servers, computer servers sitting in there where all the computer processing is happening that allows you to get that instantaneous response whenever you search for something on the internet or run a program that is using cloud computing. That all requires lots of energy. You know, and in Pennsylvania and in southwestern Pennsylvania, we do have an opportunity and an advantage. We have affordable energy. This is an opportunity to take advantage of the energy that's been developed here, including also, you may have seen the news recently about Microsoft partnering with an energy company to reboot Three Mile Island out in the center of the state to help power some of their developing power as well.
Well, it's fascinating, and you know, I'm happy that Pittsburgh seems to be really the focal point of this super emerging technology, particularly at CMU. So congratulations. Mm-hmm. This is exciting because bottom line is if this all goes as planned, it'll bring a lot of jobs and a lot of good jobs and bring people from all over the country here to Pittsburgh, right?
It already is. I'll give you just a small example. Last week, the National Science Foundation brought all of their AI research centers from across the country to Carnegie Mellon, hosted by our AI Center for Social Decision Making. That was an incredible amount of power and knowledge just here at Carnegie Mellon, looking at Pittsburgh as really the center of the universe in this. We do discovery where we have the research and talent. We do development of creating the new tools, programs, and research. And then we do deployment. And, you know, I'm going to add the last piece, which is don't underestimate the use of AI in companies like our finance companies or our healthcare companies or our insurance companies. That's where this stuff really gets used. And we're helping to provide the programs for them, train their employees, and develop new technologies that will help them work. It's going to be great for the Pittsburgh economy.
More to come. Steve Ray, Executive Director of the Block Center for Technology at Carnegie Mellon University. The only thing, though, we got to teach all those people coming from other places, a lot of this is stored in the cloud, not cloud.
I didn't bring my Pittsburgh accent to the conversation.
But, I got you. Great stuff, Steve. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, thanks, Larry. Take care.
Hunters. Joe, I saw the full Hunter supermoon. I guess it's the biggest, brightest supermoon of the year, even between the clouds. It almost looked like a movie scene.
Yeah, I got to see glimpses of it through the clouds last night, but it was very pretty what I could see of it.
So we're going to see more of it tonight as it clears, and we're looking ahead to a really great weekend.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. I'm looking forward to being able to see the comet tonight. I tried last night. There was a little area of clearing, but it wasn't big enough. But if you look after sunset, about 45 minutes to an hour out to the west, you'll spy Venus, which is a very bright star, if you will, low on the horizon. If you look kind of west of there, or more toward the north, I should say, closer to where the point where the sun went down, and then look up a little bit, that's where you should see it. And again, that's about 45 minutes to an hour after sunset. And we finally should have clear skies to see that tonight and the next few nights, because high pressure is building in, and it means nothing but sunshine and a warming trend from now through the weekend.
We got a big Steelers game Sunday night. Now, last time they played on a Sunday 2 weeks ago, we had a hellacious front that brought some heavy, heavy thunderstorms. We're not looking at anything like that this Sunday, are we?
I did warn you about that.
Yes,
did
you did. No, duly noted, and I made sure people knew. Joe told us it would.
No, we'd have no worries of such kind. It'll be very pleasant. I think the kickoff temperature is probably going to be somewhere in the mid-60s after a daytime high of 73. Should be a very comfortable evening with light winds for football.
Hey, Joe, one little question about the nice weather. For people who do some planning along these lines, when does it end? When do we need to get all the good stuff in?
Well, I think there's a front that comes through probably Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday night. Might be a shower with it. That might be our only hope of rain in the next week and a half, 2 weeks. So it's cooler for the back end of next week. But then I think it warms up again for a few days, maybe next weekend and into the early part of the following week.
Oh, keep it coming.
Yeah, man. Thanks for the update.
You're welcome. Have a great one.
Meteorologist Joe Lundberg at AccuWeather's World Headquarters. And check out tonight that Super Hunter Moon. That's Vanessa Williams. You know, they named the moons the Native Americans, and this is the full hunter's moon because presumably you would be able to hunt even after dark because it was so bright. So, Paul, I looked this up.
That by music, by the way, was that from Pocahontas?
Yes, it was. Okay. Very good. Total Recall, Paul. You see that, Aaron? So
actually, that wasn't a recall. That was a serious question.
No, you're right. The first full moon of fall, it's one of four super moons. Hunter's moon is the first moon after September's autumnal equinox adjacent harvest moon. So it's the brightest very, very early, actually this morning at 7:26. The moon will be just below the horizon, and it's the brightest of the year.
Cold-hearted orb that rules the night.
Removes the colors from our sight.
Red is gray and yellow white.
What we decide which is right and which is an illusion. Wow.
My man.
How about that? Moody Blues, 1972. And they knew someday we'd be dealing with artificial intelligence. So the lines are blurred, and so are the colors. But I'm colorblind, so it doesn't matter. From the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center,